the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Well, Huron, good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis expected to announce his 2024 presidential bid next month. He's in Israel today, where he marveled at what it felt like to walk where Jesus walked.
You can sit there and you can study the Bible in America, and it's great and it's inspiring, but when you actually come here, it comes to life.
DeSantis speaking to reporters in Jerusalem today. Polls show he is the strongest Republican challenger to the party frontrunner, Donald Trump.
I always had a good relationship with him, and then once the midterm election happened, he started taking shots at me.
DeSantis is being sued by Disney in Florida for his cracking down on the House of Mouse after it complained about a new parental rights law in the Sunshine State. Age is all of a sudden an issue in next year's presidential election.
If you vote for Joe Biden, you really are counting on a President Harris, because the idea that he would make it until 86 years old is not something that I think is likely.
Republican challenger Nikki Haley.
He thinks that the way we got out of Afghanistan was fine. He thinks that the Chinese spy balloon flying over America was okay. And issues with the border, with illegal immigration, he thinks they're all fine. They're not. You know, ask anybody.
70% of Americans, according to an NBC News poll, say they don't want President Biden to run again. Most Americans also say they don't want Donald Trump to run next year. President Biden used a cheat sheet with reporters' names on it at a rare White House news conference yesterday. Former Presidential Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany.
The idea that a presidential press conference, you would be given the questions in advance and be able to write down first question and the exact question from the reporter, that is an inconceivable thought to me. But to Joe Biden, it's a different ballgame, because the press, you're members of the administration. You might as well be at the Navy mess socializing with us back in the West Wing, because you're not true members of the press if you're doing that.
Media critic Joe Concha.
This president continues to be the most protected, the most inaccessible president that we have seen in modern times. He has yet to do a solo press conference this entire year.
Yesterday's press conference was a joint affair with the president of South Korea, who's speaking to a joint session of Congress today. House Republicans have set up a showdown with the White House over the debt ceiling. They've passed a bill that freezes spending. Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
We save money by being smart. That COVID money and billions of dollars sitting out there, never spent, just sitting there, we claw that back so the American taxpayer can save the money. By limiting the amount we spend, we curb inflation that makes people stronger.
The House bill reins in a planned IRS expansion effort and eliminates the president's student loan forgiveness program, the president's vow to veto. Economic growth is slowing down, and that's amping up fears of an impending recession. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger takes a look at the gross domestic product for the first 3 months of the year.
The numbers were really interesting because it does appear that consumers were the bulk of the activity in the first quarter. Consumer consumption up by 3.7%. Meanwhile, businesses did not spend quite as much.
The government says the GDP was up just 1.1% in the first quarter, a significant drop from the fourth quarter last year. The 21-year-old man accused of leaking military secrets has a date with a judge today. Jennifer Kuiper reports.
Federal prosecutors say Jack Teixeira posted government information to the social media platform Discord beginning in or around December 22nd, tried to obstruct the government's investigation into the leaks, and should be detained because, if released, he could pose an even greater threat now that his identity is known.
Officials believe the Massachusetts Air National Guardsman may still have access to classified documents. He's currently being held without bail in Boston. A government whistleblower testified to Congress yesterday about the impact that illegal immigration has on child smuggling operations.
We're engaged in creating slavery. We are trafficking slaves to this country.
Absolutely. There is no doubt. We have created a pull. And because this criminal element tragically views children as a commodity, they see us as the middleman because we're paying the flight directly to the end user, the trafficker.
That's HHS whistleblower Tara Lee Rodas. More than 350,000 unaccompanied minors have crossed the southern border since President Biden took office. Historic flooding is threatening millions of homes along the Mississippi River.
Along the Mississippi River, melting snowpack fueling a days-long flood phenomenon. Homes submerged from Wisconsin to Iowa. Several cities reaching major flood stage with water 6 feet above flood levels and rising.
It is the worst flooding in at least 20 years for the mighty Mississippi. Oklahoma lawmakers debating a bill that bans sex reassignment surgeries on children. Critics contend it is not the role of the legislature to legislate this.
Leave this between kids and their parents. Please.
But the lawmaker sponsoring the transgender surgery ban says it's time to settle some biological realities.
It is not possible to change a biological female to a male. It is not possible to change a male to a biological female.
The legislation bans hormone therapy and sex change operations on anyone under 18 in Oklahoma. Legendary talk show host Jerry Springer has died. He was 79. Springer passed away this morning at his home in suburban Chicago. He was the mayor of Cincinnati before his popular show aired for nearly three decades. Springer was diagnosed with cancer a few months ago. More Americans are squashing their butts for good. Stacy Lynn explains.
Cigarette smoking dropped to another all-time low last year. According to a new CDC survey, one in nine adults said they were current smokers. In the mid-60s, 42% of U.S. adults were smokers. E-cigarette use rose to about 1 in 17 adults.
And today is Take Your Kids to Work Day. Parents encouraged to show their children what they do to make ends meet. Spokeswoman Olette Diaz.
The hope is that they see the connection between what they're learning at school to the role and responsibilities that their parents engage in at work.
People are encouraged to share photos, videos, and stories online today at daughtersandsonstowork.org. Still to come on the noon report, nearing a deal on the New York budget. Pennsylvania politicians pass historic cancer legislation, and why you'll want to slow down around school buses today. Our own Greg Gillespie reports after this.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams calling for some pleasant weather to carry us through the rest of the day, but changes come for the weekend. It looks wet. Forecast hotels are up in 10.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. News where you live next. Officials are asking you to be on the lookout for the dreaded spotted lanternfly this spring. The invasive insect first spotted in Pennsylvania in 2014 and has since invaded the entire listening area. Chris Logue at the New York Agriculture Department says the bug hitched a ride here from China and can be deadly to trees and plants. It has a particular appetite for grapevines and apple trees.
It basically sucks the sap out of the plant, and it can make them, it can stress plants out, can make them more susceptible to drought stress, it can make them more susceptible to other attacks from other insects and diseases.
The spotted lanternfly has been known to attack at least 70 species of trees and plants. It hitchhikes its way from place to place, often traveling on vehicles. The first spotted lanternfly in New York showed up on Staten Island in 2020. Now they are everywhere. The Pennsylvania House will vote next week on legislation that expands the definition of the state's anti-discrimination law.
The significance of this are numerous in terms of religious liberty concerns, privacy concerns, etc. Notable about this bill is when it was introduced, it did include some limited religious freedom protection language in it, but on Monday, the Democrats on the committee voted to take that language out, making it even more dangerous.
Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute explains what would happen if House Bill 300 passes.
Christian schools and ministries could lose the right to exercise their convictions about human sexuality and employment and who they hire. Creative professionals could be forced to engage in messages that violate their conscience. Medical doctors, for example, could be forced to prescribe hormones or perform sex reassignment surgeries. Women's shelters could be forced to admit biological men who identify as women. So yeah. That's why we are encouraging people to take action on House Bill 300.
The vote on the House bill set for Monday, May 1st. The theft of farm animals in western New York by vegan extremists is now generally generating national headlines. Niagara County Sheriff Michael Filicetti on Fox News today.
They're teaching people how to research farms. It's a farming community here in Niagara County, and certainly going onto people's property, taking their livestock, or attempting to take their livestock is a crime. Mm-hmm. It's not rescuing. It is a crime.
Paul Strobel is a farmer from Newfane and says last week a pair of animal rights activists trespassed on his property and took pictures of his livestock.
I definitely have been targeted, and it's created great concerns amongst me and my neighbors, my family. My children are very frightened. Mm-hmm. They're concerned. I mean, my 10-year-old son goes to sleep at night worried that the bad people are going to come. And so, yeah, I'm afraid it's going to happen eventually.
Horses, cows, chickens, even bees have been targeted. The sheriff thinks these vegan extremists are from out of state. Pennsylvania Democrats advancing gun control legislation. A series of bills could be voted on next week aimed at reducing gun violence, trafficking, suicides, and accidents related to firearms. The measure's not expected to win approval, however, in the GOP-controlled state Senate. Republican lawmakers in New York are urging the governor to give residents more time to review the state budget before it's passed. Right now, there is no deal. Southern Tier State Senator Tom O'Mara.
There's a lot in there. Will be a lot in there. There's a lot unknown.
He is urging the governor not to waive the 3-day wait period that's typically required before budget bills are voted on.
There's still a lot of policy issues that are being discussed in this budget by the leaders behind closed doors with no information coming to any of us.
State Assemblyman Josh Jensen.
26 days late, and we're seeing less and less sunlight being shown on this budget process.
This year's budget is the latest it's been in 13 years. Operation Safe Stop is underway in New York.
Bob, the stepped-up law enforcement campaign is designed to make sure students get on and off their school bus safely. Police will be stepping up patrols near school zones. Every day in New York, the number of motorists who drive past stopped school buses illegally is 50,000 a day. Still, studies show students are 70 times safer riding in a school bus to school versus riding in a private vehicle. Greg Gillespie, Family Life News.
All right, thank you, Greg. One of the largest health networks in the Northern Tier has just entered into an agreement with a massive national health organization. And we get the details from Family Life, Sarah Harnish.
Geisinger on Wednesday entered an agreement, possibly making the healthcare giant the first system to join Ryssent Health, a new nonprofit created by Kaiser Permanente. Officials hope the move will expand access to care in more communities across the state of Pennsylvania. The move still needs regulatory approval. Sarah Harnish, Family Life News.
Thank you, Sarah. Pennsylvania's approved historic bipartisan legislation that eliminates out-of-pocket costs for cancer screenings. Pat Halpin-Murphy with the Pennsylvania Breast Cancer Coalition.
Senate Bill 8 is a game changer. Pennsylvania will be the first state in the nation that provides these services to the women in need and their families.
Senate President Kim Ward is a cancer survivor.
It is historic, and I can't even tell you what it feels like. I can't even describe it to know that we did something big here.
House Speaker Joanna McClinton says early detection is the key to beating cancer.
Cancer is one of those diseases that many times for women of color, women that look like me, it is a death sentence.
Governor Shapiro's promised to sign the bill once it reaches his desk. Pennsylvania Senators Lisa Buscombe Scolo and Dan Laughlin want to open up the state's closed primary. They think the 1.2 million independent voters in Pennsylvania should be allowed to participate. Pennsylvania and New York are among 9 states that ban independents from the primary elections. By the way, Monday's the deadline to register in the Pennsylvania primary. The New York DEC is working with local health officials after a half dozen people were bitten by a rabid fox in Brighton. That fox has been euthanized, but worries abound in that community.
It looked aggressive. It was not acting as normal foxes do.
You would assume that if one of them had rabies, it could have
infected the others.
We don't know if there are other animals infected. You know, I would remind people to be aware of their surroundings.
Brighton's police chief tells Wham News that fox attacks are rare.
We cannot have that where people are freaking out every time they see a fox. Again, we coexist with wildlife, and it's not just in that neighborhood. There are foxes living in every neighborhood.
The rabid fox attack, the first of its kind in over 20 years in that Rochester suburb. Sports next on the Family Life Noon Report.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, for the first time in a decade, the New York Knicks are moving on to the second round in the postseason. Jalen Brunson scored 23, R.J. Barrett netted 21 to lead the Knicks over Cleveland 106-95. Next up will be the Heat. Miami knocked out top-seeded Milwaukee in overtime, 128-126, behind Jimmy Butler's 42 points. Out west, the Grizzlies are still alive, beating the Lakers 116-99. L.A. still up 3-2. And the defending champs won their third straight over the Kings, 123-116. Golden State now heading home for Game 6, up 3-2. By the way, the Warriors have now won at least one road game in 28 consecutive playoff series. That's an NBA record. On the ice, Florida staved off elimination, edging Boston in overtime 4-3. Bruins still up 3-2. And the Kraken grabbed a 3-2 series lead over the Avs after a 3-2 win last night. To baseball, the Yankees avoided a sweep at the hands of the Twins, doubling them up 12-6. Yanks scored 5 in the second, 6 more in the fourth. Both Judge and Volpe drove in 3. Boston, Toronto, Houston, and the Angels, also American League winners. Rosy Contreras tossed 6 scoreless, and the Pirates beat the Dodgers 8-1. The Mets dropped their 4th straight, 4-1 against the Nationals. The Braves, Padres, and Giants also won. Interleague play saw the Phillies come from behind and edge Seattle 6-5. Castellanos driving in 3 of those runs. The Reds, Guardians, Brewers, and D-backs, your other winners. That is a look at sports.
Thank you, Randy, man. Still to come on the Noon Report, Disney versus DeSantis, parent umpires in New Jersey, and cool and wet for your weekend.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. From the beginning of the church, Christians have struggled to understand their relationship with and their responsibility for the culture around them. Many have wondered whether we should strive to improve society at all when there are so many lost souls that need to hear the gospel. These questions point to important issues about what it means to be a Christian, and the answers aren't always clear. God's Word makes plain that God's plan involves not just the saving of souls. It's about the restoration of His entire creation. His efforts in various times and places of history are according to this redemptive plan. The final chapters of Revelation culminate in a new heavens and a new earth, a restored creation fully realized in the return of Christ. The garden home of Adam and Eve described in Genesis is renewed in a garden city described in Revelation, bringing to fruition Christ's command for us to pray that God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We are to pray that God's kingdom should come on earth as in heaven, as we were told, then we must care for the culture around us. We were created to worship God not only with our words, but also with our work. The first few chapters of Genesis make plain that humans are created for the purpose of cultivating the rest of the creation for the glory of God. It's Genesis 1:26-28. After Adam's fall in Genesis 3, that work would be frustrating, spoiled, even painful, but the call to cultivate endured. Throughout Scripture, God blesses and judges nations based on their cultures. He stewards His world through His human beings, created in His image, with sexed bodies united in marriage in order to guarantee the future of civilization. Ultimately, Christ redeems Adam's failure so His creation can be rescued, restored, renewed, redeemed, resurrected, reconciled. Jesus' second great commandment, to love your neighbors as yourself, is best understood in light of this entire redemptive trajectory. That's why, in both the Old and New Testament, God commands His people to defend the helpless, to protect life, to speak truth, and to rescue the captives, as well as to point them to Christ. The Apostle Paul was a lifelong evangelist. He proclaimed the gospel. He equipped others to proclaim the gospel. And this was done, in large part,
by establishing and maturing churches to be a corporate presence in various times and places. And his instructions to these churches weren't just reminders to evangelize. They were instructions about family, about children, about work, about interfacing with government, about interacting with enemies, about the work of our hands, about our care for the poor and standing up for those who are victims of injustice. The best way to understand Christianity, the gospel, and God's call for our lives isn't by citing isolated scriptures, but in embracing the entire scope of God's revelation, his plan and work that's described throughout the Bible. While the church has not always done its job well, and certainly not as well as it could, the fruit of the church's efforts are often overlooked. The church has truly been salt and light in this world, preserving the good, exposing the evil, all through the power of God in Christ by the Spirit's presence among his people. These are the eternal works to which God's people have been called. Just because they're cultural works don't mean that they're not eternal works. Influencing culture to bring life closer to God's original goals for human flourishing is indeed eternal. It's impossible to know, of course, today whether we're in a Wilberforce moment where our efforts will be rewarded by Christ and bring about some level of restoration, or in a Bonhoeffer moment where our faithful witness and lives do not heal the society around us, but our testimonies stand amidst the collapse. For us, T.S. Eliot says, there's only the trying. The rest is not our business. Or to quote a motto that Chuck Colson embraced, our job is faithfulness, not success. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. For more resources to live like a Christian in this moment, go to ColsonCenter.org.
Outside next, Kevin Williams.
Your family life regional weather forecast. A bubble of high pressure ruling our weather today. Big bubble, no trouble weather-wise. It's a good looker. High temperatures, 50s and low 60s. Cooler near the shores of Lake Syrie in Ontario. Fair tonight, low temps near 40. Tomorrow, clouds thick and rain arrives. Continues at night. Now the temperatures will peak in the 50s and low 60s. And rain diminishes to showers Saturday. Highs in the 50s and low 60s. And it's going to rain again on Sunday.
All right, thank you, Kevin. This is the Noon Report. It is Thursday, the 27th. Of April, and following some breaking news right now, legendary talk show host Jerry Springer died today. He was 79. Family spokesman says he passed away peacefully at his home in suburban Chicago. The Jerry Springer Show aired for nearly 30 years. From 1991 to 2018, Springer had been diagnosed with cancer a few months ago. A judge in Boston being asked to keep an alleged leaker locked up. He's 21-year-old Massachusetts Air National Guardsman Jack Texera. Prosecutors say he's a flight risk after being arrested for spilling military secrets.
Federal investigators found a gun locker at his mom's house outside Boston with a cache of weapons and tactical gear surrounding his bed. Prosecutors say 5 years ago, Texera was suspended from high school, mentioning Molotov cocktails and guns at the school and making racial threats. And the filing also alleges he searched online about mass killings and posted disturbing comments, saying he wanted ISIS to, quote, kill a ton of people. The Department of Justice also argues Texera tried to cover up the leak by destroying evidence like a laptop and game console.
Catherine Herridge in Washington. It's the House of Mouse versus the governor of Florida. Disney is suing Ron DeSantis. Donna Backus is in Orlando.
Last year, Disney criticized Florida's parental rights in education law because it prohibits public school instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity in grades K through 3.
The age-appropriate learning standards were recently expanded by the Florida Board of Education. Supporters say the sexualization of young children at school amounts to indoctrination, not education. Montana's first ever transgender state lawmaker, Zoe Zephyr, has been banned from the state house for the rest of the year. It's because of comments made during public debate over a bill that bans sex reassignment surgery on kids. Zephyr's remarks violated house rules and incited a mass protest at the Capitol. More Americans trust public figures for their news than the actual news industry itself.
According to a new Gallup poll from the Knight Foundation, close to 90% of Americans follow at least one public individual for their news updates. More than half of the respondents said the figures they follow are scientists, journalists, or politicians and elected leaders. The study says a chunk of Americans say they trust public figures more than news outlets, which shows the power that they have in informing or potentially misleading the public. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Very interesting. Thank you, Mark. And then there's this. A New Jersey town is turning unruly parents into Little League umpires. Deborah Rodriguez explains.
Did he get hit? Because it's full count.
A new rule in Deptford Township requires moms and dads who think they can do a better job to take the field to prove it. They'll have to ump 3 games themselves before they're allowed back in the stands as spectators. The league's president says the abuse has gotten so bad, 2 volunteer umps quit last week.
That league president is Don Bafuzzi, and he explains the new parent umpire rule.
The main purpose is not for them to be able to call a baseball game, for them to see what's going on out here, and it's not that easy.
Parent umps in Deptford, New Jersey. Now, little league programs all across America are facing a shortage of umps due to unruly moms and dads. This is the Noon Report on Family Life.
Christian University is suing a local public school district after that school system severed a decade-long partnership with the college. Their reason for doing so was that ACU's religious views were out of line. I'm Abigail Hoffland, and this is Faith Under Fire. Joining us today to discuss the status and implications of this case is attorney Jake Reed with Alliance Defending Freedom. Jake, thanks so much for being with us today. First off, could you give us some background on this story and remind us what exactly prompted the lawsuit by Arizona Christian University against the local public school district?
So ACU had a relationship with the school district going back over the last 11 years. That relationship has been nothing but beneficial. All that changed in February of this year when the school district decided on February 23rd to cease that partnership with ACU. And it made that decision strictly because of ACU's religious beliefs and, you know, their statements they posted on their website. Fast forward 2 weeks from that. So the beginning of March, there was a second school board meeting where you have a lot of input from the public on both sides come in and make comments. And the school board effectively doubles down on their decision to terminate the agreement with ACU.
What are ACU's main arguments here?
The main one is kind of 3 separate theories under the free exercise clause. So the free exercise clause, you know, it's in the First Amendment, says that everyone has a right to freely exercise their religion. And we have 3 different theories under the free exercise clause. The first is that the government cannot be hostile towards religious beliefs. So they can't denigrate your beliefs or disparage them, which is what the school board did here in that February 23rd meeting. The second is, the government can't disqualify religious organizations or people from participating in programs like everyone else. And again, that's what the school district did here. So that also violates the free exercise clause. And then the third reason is free exercise clause prevents the government from burdening your religious beliefs. So that's kind of just another way of saying the government can't act non-neutral. It can't act discriminatory.
Other than the complaint about the college's belief statement, is the school board citing specific reasons for ending the partnership?
The school district has no response other than to point to ACU's religious beliefs. You know, in the legal documents, the school district says they're just making business decisions, which they're entitled to do. But the problem is there's no evidence of a business decision. The only evidence is of hostility towards religion and discrimination towards religion. You know, they don't cite any other reason. So the school district can argue there's other reasons, but they haven't come forward with any.
In the meantime, has this placed an extra burden on Arizona Christian University?
It has, and that's part of the reason we asked the court for a preliminary injunction. We asked the court to order the school district to continue the partnership, because as we sit here today and have this conversation, ACU has to find places for the next school year for its elementary education students. You know, there's a number of students that have to fulfill student teaching requirements, and a number of them who expected to fulfill them within the Washington Elementary School District.
What do you think are the broader ramifications of this case?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we're seeing, I think, a trend today in society moving away from respect for religion and what we used to find, you know, religion as being sacred and holding an important place in society, to now, you know, society, the government, the public, doesn't care for it and wants to disparage it, wants to get rid of it, and moving towards this sort of secular society where religion has no place. And the government has their own views and orthodoxy on what is right and what is wrong. And they're trying to impose that on everyone else, including, you know, Christian organizations and people of faith. And they have no right to do that, no place to do that. So this case does have implications across the country, and we need to kind of stem and put a hold on the government from taking action that discriminates against people of faith.
Thank you so much for your time and comments, Jake.
Awesome. Thank you, Abigail. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to a conversation with attorney Jake Reed regarding the ongoing litigation involving Arizona Christian University and Washington Elementary School District. Thanks for tuning in to Faith Under Fire. For Family Life News, I'm Abigail Hoffland.
All right, Abigail, thank you for that. And by the way, Faith Under Fire airs Thursdays during the Noon Report or online anytime at familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A bubble of high pressure ruling our weather today. Big bubble, no trouble weather-wise. It's a good looker. That air of high pressure, though, departs tomorrow. And an upper-level low, where low pressure promises rain and cool air. That's for the weekend. But for the day today, shaping up to continue to be lovely, ample sunshine, high temperatures 50s and low 60s, cooler near the shores of Lake Syrie in Ontario. Fair tonight, low temps near 40. Tomorrow, clouds thick and rain arrives, continues at night. The temperatures will peak in the 50s and low 60s, and rain diminishes to showers Saturday, highs in the 50s and low 60s, and it's going to rain again on Sunday.
All right, that's what makes the green grass grow. Thank you, Kevin. Find that noon forecasters are eyeing Erie, Pennsylvania as a great place to view next year's solar eclipse of the sun. Family Life's Brian Querry has a preview.
Next year, an army of people will descend on Erie, Pennsylvania to watch the moon photobomb the sun. The solar eclipse on April 8th, 2024 will be visible all over the state, but Erie's view should be exceptional, unless it's cloudy. And even though there's a chance that might happen, nearly 250,000 visitors are expected to flock to Erie County. Places to stay are already hard to come by and climbing in price. Rooms at one normally budget-friendly chain have been seen going for more than $500 a night, and hotels as far as 40 miles away have shown at times to be close to $1,000 a night. Prices are only set to rise as the event gets closer. Erie won't be on the path of totality again until the year 2144, making this a truly once-in-a-lifetime event. Brian Querry, Family Life News.
All right, Brian, should be quite a show, folks. Mark your calendars, April 8th, 2024. And that's our world for April 27th, 2023. Appreciate you checking in. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.